Moncrief on News Talk
with Gas Networks Ireland. Natural gas is compatible with a wide range of modern appliances. gasnetworks.ie/movetogas.
Lindley Johnson has one of the coolest job titles on earth, and one with no small amount of responsibility. Lindley works for NASA and is NASA's first ever planetary defence officer. Lindley, good afternoon to you.
Yes, good afternoon.
Now, you are in charge of an office, so in general terms, Lindley, could you let us know what your office does?
Well, our Planetary Defense Coordination Office at NASA headquarters oversees all the efforts that NASA has to find the asteroids before they find us. We run a number of projects to survey the skies to look for any asteroid that might be on an impact trajectory with the Earth.
Is it possible to survey all the sky in all directions to make to keep an eye on every single planetary body that might be heading our way?
Well, not right now. Our current capabilities are using ground-based telescopes, and because they're on the ground and have to look through Earth's atmosphere, they can only survey the night side of the Earth and when the weather is clear. We do have the technology to go out into space, have telescopes in space that help us do a better job of that, but we're not quite to that stage yet.
Right. Okay. So is it possible that there may be one or many, many planetary bodies that might be heading in our direction that we don't know about?
Well, that's entirely possible. Our current catalog is over 17,000. In fact, we just crossed 17,500, what we call near-Earth asteroids. Those are asteroids that pass within 5 million miles of the Earth. So those are the ones that we're looking for that have some potential of impacting the Earth in the future. But we believe the population of asteroids that are, say, 100 meters or more in size that come that close to Earth is something on the order of 25,000. So of the 17,000 we know about now of all sizes, only about 8,000 of those are the larger ones. And so we have about 17,000 more objects to find that we'd really like to get pinned down, because if we were to be impacted by an object 100 meters or so or larger in size in the wrong place, it could be a very bad day.
Okay, that is worrying. Now, you said 100 meters quite a lot, though, so I assume 100 meters up is the kind of sizes we should be really worried about.
Yeah, that's true, although if a 100-meter-size object were to hit in the middle of the ocean somewhere, which, you know, is the most likely case if we're on an impact trajectory, probably wouldn't do much damage. But if an object that size were to hit near a major metropolitan area, it would be a very bad disaster.
Yeah, indeed. Typically speaking, when something that size comes through the atmosphere, because you read about how it explodes in midair, do they tend to hit the ground or explode somewhat like a bomb does?
Well, an object of that size would make it all the way through the atmosphere and strike the surface, but the energy release would be equivalent of a large nuclear device. We're talking tens to hundreds of megatons.
Now, the objects that are known about, if they were headed our way, how much advance warning would we have?
Well, it all depends on how soon we were able to pick it up in our surveys. We can't see out across the entire solar system. They have to come close enough to the Earth to become bright enough for the telescopes to see them. So it all kind of depends on the orbit that it is in. Our goal, of course, is to be able to find them years to decades in advance, and that's entirely possible because most of them are going to come on a close pass by Earth many years to decades before that impact trajectory. So we just have to be looking out for them and build up this catalog of objects that are known to come close to Earth so that we can be prepared.
Okay, so on the good news end of it, it would be decades away. What's the bad news end of it, if you like? I mean, could it be a body that hadn't been surveyed before, and would it be a matter of days, perhaps?
Well, maybe even less than that.
Oh,
as an example, the the Chelyabinsk object that struck over Russia in 2013, February of 2013, about a 20-meter size object. Of course, that's pretty small, but there was still some damage sustained at the surface, a few people injured by breaking glass and that kind of thing. We had no warning of that. The first indication of that is when it hit the atmosphere.
Crikey. Now, at the moment, going back to things we know about, is there, if you like, a procedure? Because presumably if something is hundreds of thousands or millions of miles away, you're saying, well, there's a percentage chance it might hit the Earth, and then that percentage
right.
changes as it becomes closer. What's the magic percentage where the alarm bells go off?
Well, we have, working with the United Nations Committee on Peaceful Uses of Outer Space, established a couple of organizations that work this internationally, International Asteroid Warning Network. And the agreement is that if we detect an object that has a greater than 1% chance of impacting the Earth, that we would start sending out a warning about it so that everybody is aware, try to establish the orbit precise enough that we would know exactly where it would impact so that we could alert that area of the world, wherever it might be.
Now, when we're at the 1% stage, it's hard to know what part of the planet it might hit.
That's true, but it is limited to a line across the Earth. It wouldn't be just anywhere on the Earth. As the Earth intersects the asteroid's orbit, it creates a line of risk, we call it, across the Earth's surface.
And as it gets closer and closer, presumably, that can be done with more precision.
Right. We narrow that down as we get more observations and understand what the exact time of the intersection is.
Now, space is obviously a very big place, and relatively speaking, the Earth is very small. So, there has always been this kind of assumption that, well, this kind of event happens every 20,000 years or a few million years. But tell us about Shoemaker-Levy and its impacts with Jupiter, and how perhaps that changed people's minds about the relative risks.
Well, that's right. That happened back in 1994. And prior to that, there was only a few astronomers that understood this this hazard and were trying to start a survey. But after Shoemaker-Levy 9 comet hit Jupiter, it became very obvious that this impact hazard still exists in the solar system. There's still a lot of debris out there left over from the formation of the solar system, asteroids and comets, so to speak. And so that increased the call for a organized survey program to try to find them, and led to NASA establishing its program back in 1998.
And so, because that seemed to imply to people that there could be multiple hits within a relatively short space of time.
Well, that's true. That is a case where the comet broke up on a previous pass close to Jupiter, creating multiple fragments. So again, here's a case where the object comes by on a close pass first, and then comes back around on the next orbit and impacts. And so that's kind of what we're looking for, is seeing these objects on earlier close passes by the Earth, and then predicting whether they would be an impact threat down the road.
Now, going back to our scenario where there's an asteroid that's at least 100 meters along, and we've got plenty of advance notice. At the moment, what kind of options are being considered as to what can be done about that?
Yeah, yes. If we have a few years a warning of this, we believe we can mount a space mission to deflect the object off of this impact trajectory. Deflect is kind of a misnomer in that what you really need to do is just slow up the asteroid a little bit and its velocity, or speed it up, depending on which way is the best way to move it. And so you cause the asteroid to arrive a few minutes later at that intersection point years in the future, And so it becomes a miss instead of a hit. And there are a couple of techniques that we believe will work for that. One is if it's small enough, you can just hit it with a sizable spacecraft, what we call a kinetic impactor, and make a change of just a centimeter or two per second change in its velocity. And then several years later, of course, that centimeter per second builds up to make it thousands of kilometers away.
So presumably you have to hit it early enough to make that difference.
That's right. We would need to impact it several years before the predicted impact, the change in velocity to make the difference.
And the craft we would have to hit it with, would it have to be a fairly sizable or very heavy craft?
Well, not as much as you would think. Because of the velocities things are traveling at, even a spacecraft that's only a couple of metric tons in weight causes quite a release of energy when it impacts. That release of kinetic energy of spacecraft going tens of kilometers per second is equivalent to a nuclear explosion going off. And also what is added to that is the ejecta that comes off the surface of the asteroid that causes a blast off of the surface of the asteroid, and that increases the change in momentum to the object.
Mm. As you say, this is one of the... Are there any other, if you like, front runners in terms of possibilities of altering the trajectory or destroying an asteroid?
Well, another option is what we call the gravity tractor, and that is using a spacecraft in nature's tug rope, gravity, positioning the spacecraft in a station-keeping maneuver to the side of the asteroid, and over time, several years, it gently tugs it off of that hazardous trajectory. And then if time is short and we don't have many other options, there is always the nuclear device option, detonating a nuclear device a few kilometers or so from the surface. And again, this causes a blast, blow off of material. It superheats the surface material, causing a blow off. And it's like a rocket exhaust. Changing the velocity of the asteroid.
In terms of our readiness, say, for any of those three options, are we ready? Could any of those things be deployed, say, in the next 10 years?
Certainly in the next 10 years. In fact, we are working on a project right now in the U.S. In cooperation with the European Space Agency to demonstrate the effectiveness of the kinetic impactor. It's a mission called the DART, the Double Asteroid Redirect Test. And we're going to do the test against a binary asteroid system, a asteroid with a small moonlet that orbits it. And we will impact the moonlet and change its orbit around the primary. And so this will test all the systems and techniques and the give us an idea of whether this idea of just using a kinetic impactor, how effective it is.
Well, let's hope it is effective. And thank you very much for speaking with us today. That was Lindley Johnson there, NASA's first ever planetary defense officer from NASA's Planetary Defense Coordination Office. We're going to take a break after that. Movies and booze.
Moncrief on News Talk.
With Gas Networks Ireland. Natural gas is compatible with a wide range of modern appliances. gasnetworks.ie/movetogas.